It's the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time for our next guest. He is an actor, director, producer, and the author of a new book, Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. And we're going to visit with Justin Baldoni. And good morning.
Good morning. You have an amazing voice.
Well, I would say the same for you. That was you totally hit me back with a radio voice.
You know, I one of my first jobs, I was a DJ at a local radio station.
Really?
In Medford, Oregon.
Medford, Oregon. Yeah. What kind of station was it?
It was Top 40. The first one was B93, and then Clear Channel came in, and I was a DJ at Kiss FM.
Nice. Yeah, I worked
a long time ago, my friend.
I worked for Clear Channel a decade ago, so absolutely. But I know you didn't call in to talk about radio, even though we could. Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. Was there something specific that inspired you to make you want to explore this topic?
I don't think it was anything specific. I think it was a culmination of a lot of, you know, little bee stings, if you will.
Sure.
I think for a long time, even as a boy, I was aware of the disconnect between who I felt I was or who I wanted to be and who the world told me I needed to be. I think that, from early on, even down to being mean to girls, right? When you like them and
sure.
No girls allowed and girls have cooties. I also always felt more comfortable with girls than with the boys, because I could talk to them and we could talk about feelings and, all kinds of stuff, even in middle school and high school and, just pledging allegiance to that, you know, boys club, the bros before hoes mentality, right? The staying silent when you see behavior that, you know, like these were things that I thought about and was aware of and caused me real conflict, but yet I always chose the boys growing up. And that behavior changes and turns into more problematic behavior as you get older and you recognize, like, wait, why did I say that? Why did I cut her off when she was talking? Why, and why can't I ask for help? Why can't I talk to my guy friends about these things? Why am I only comfortable talking to women about these things? What's the problem? Where does this start? And that kind of led me to doing this work. I got married. My wife held a mirror up and I got to see some real dark stuff in me and eventually became a parent and did a TED talk on it and, you know, eventually started writing and wrote this book. And here we are.
We are hit from these messages from day one, and it just popped into my head as I'm looking at your book, going back to watching Little Rascals reruns as a kid, and there it is, the He-Man Woman Haters Club. And these kids are like 5 and 6, and that's already a message that's been hit into them. And I'm sure that was way more prevalent in the 30s, but it continued to when I was a kid in the 80s.
Yeah, and also that's what ended up happening with our parents. You know, my dad and mom are boomers. And, you know, they grew up watching if not Little Rascals, they were the kids of those that did watch Little Rascals, right?
Yeah.
And that's passed on from generations. You know, I remember having a sign in my bedroom that said, no girls allowed. Why did I have a sign in my bedroom? Why did my parents let me have a sign in my bedroom that said that? Except my sign said, except for Nana, who was my favorite person on the planet, my grandma. But still, all of that, what are we, we're taught at a young age that as men, we got to reject the feminine. That women are less than. The only way to become masculine is to reject the feminine. And I just think that's a terrible idea, and it's causing us so much harm.
Well, you know, and terms are just thrown around, and if you're not careful, you can find yourself using them just almost by instinct. But, you know, we're directed from young age to man up or take it like a man, and hey, you've got to be man enough. It's like we are introduced to a particular set definition of masculinity from early on.
We are. And the thing is, we don't even realize it, right? We're brainwashed. We're programmed like little robots at a very, very young age. And it's going to take the rest of our lives to deprogram that. And that's where the work comes in. That's what this book's about. I really try to take the reader on a journey, not from like a lecturing standpoint, but from a place of messiness. You know, I talk about my life and my stories and all the stuff that I've been through. In hopes that it can invite people into their own stories. So this is not a motivational book. It's an invitational book. It's not a self-help book. It's hopefully going to ask you to think back to the own versions and the own stories of your life. And hopefully as you start asking those questions, you'll recognize some of this programming is not serving you and you'll be willing to, you know, start to deprogram, to unlearn the way that we've been socialized.
Well, and I related to your book a lot, as, along many different stages of your life. And then I'm looking back at those stages. Like, my sons are now 21 and 18, which is hard to believe. And as a father, you wonder, have I prepared them enough to be good young men, good young adults? Was I a good enough male role model? And you want to pass along what you've learned, but then at some point you want to improve on that.
Yeah, and just the fact that you're asking the question is really important. I just want men to start asking that question when their kids are born or before they even have kids. What does it really mean to be a good man today? What does it mean to be a good father? And that whole, like what you said there, you know, did I do enough? Was I good enough? The answer is, right, we're never going to be good enough. And that's what I've learned. We're never going to be man enough. The idea of enoughness is that we already are, and we have to stop trying to be. So enough is enough. That's what I talk about in the book. It's the last chapter of the book. I'm going to wave the white flag. I'm going to do the most unmanly thing. And I am going to surrender and recognize that I will never be enough so long as I'm trying to be.
Well, there it is, too. That's part of it. Isn't it also that traditional masculinity, there's no useful outlet for vulnerability? And it goes beyond just, oh, my kids saw me get emotional, saw me cry. It's more than that. It's not just being able to physically express emotions to show that side. I think some people mistake vulnerability for that.
Exactly. I actually talk about in the book, there's a difference between being emotional and being vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, as men were taught, we're not allowed to be emotional, right? That's one part of the programming that happens to us as young boys, is we're not allowed to be emotional. There's no crying in baseball, right? First of all, there is crying in baseball. Have you ever seen a team win, you know, the championship and not break down in tears, or the losing team not break down in tears? Of course there's crying in baseball. Have you ever seen a guy, you know, blow out his knee on the football field and not cry? I mean, generally you see these men, these grown men cry. And they're not crying because they're in pain. They're crying because their careers could be over, or they could have lost everything they've worked so hard for. You cry because you finally win the championship. Why do you think all of us cry when we watch Rudy?
Sure.
Or Field of Dreams, right? We cry all the time, but we're only allowed to cry in certain situations. And there's a difference between allowing ourselves to cry in certain situations and crying when we actually have feelings that come in life, and also in being vulnerable. And the difference between the two is that being vulnerable means you're willing to risk something, right? Your emotions generally are natural. They're feelings that every human being has that as men were taught that we have to repress. But being vulnerable is a choice. You actively choose to risk something, to share something that means somebody could attack you after they have that information. When you are being vulnerable, you are humanizing yourself, and you are bringing yourself down to the level of another person and sharing something that could make you look bad, or maybe that you're struggling with. And we have not been taught to do that, because the act of doing that would make us susceptible to attack. And as men, we need to protect ourselves and other people. We can't give somebody ammunition that they could attack us. But then if we're not vulnerable, how will we ever allow ourselves to grow? If we don't humble ourselves and say, oh man, I messed up, or I didn't know that, or hey, wow, this is uncomfortable, but you told me something that I did to you. Oh, I didn't mean to do that to you. I'm so sorry. Thank you for making me aware. We don't do those things. We just, you know, we have this armor, this shield, and we're impenetrable, and it just bounces off us. But when it bounces off us, it also means it's not entering our minds and our hearts and allowing us to grow.
Well, I'd love to talk more about this, Justin. We need to have you back on, and we'll have a conversation in our awesome radio voices. But the new book is Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. The author, of course, my guest, Justin Baldoni. And thank you so much for calling in today. This was great.
Oh, thanks so much, man. I love talking to you, and much love. Have a good one.